You are listening to Amplify Your Success Podcast, episode 118. And if you've ever felt like you had to keep a part of you, like the most authentic part of you, secret from the world, you're going to love today's episode. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Amplify Your Success Podcast. Hey, are you a thought leader, creative entrepreneur, or change maker and want to magnify your impact, boost influence while creating a financial abundance? Stay tuned for today's inspiring episode with your host, Melanie Benson.
Hello there, inspired entrepreneurs and business leaders. It's Melanie Benson, your host of the Amplify Your Success Podcast here. And I love today's episode because it's talking about something that's pretty near and dear to my heart. I've invited my good friend, Devi Adeya of the Spiritual Entrepreneur Podcast to come talk about why she had to come out of the spiritual entrepreneur closet and what it was costing her to hold the most authentic part of herself back from her business, from her new life, and from the world of podcasting. So it's a very rich, exciting episode. And if you're pursuing a consciousness business, a conscious-based business, a spiritual-based business, I think you'll really like this. No matter what religion or spiritual practice you have, like, I think there's something in this for all of us, plus some awesome manifesting tools. So we love manifesting tools, right? And speaking of manifesting, I've been so jazzed with the Own Your Bold Inner Circle members. We've been focused on 10xing their revenue and really getting them clear on their core message, clear on the bold actions that are going to move them forward. And I've been challenging them to do some things they've been maybe a little uncomfortable doing, but are super helpful when it comes to growing their business. And I'm watching people fill their businesses literally at one event, focusing on actions that are moving the needle forward quickly. And the Own Your Bold Inner Circle is just been this delightful group of power-packed action. So if you feel like it's time to really up your game and you are wishing that you had a group or a coach or a mentor or a process to keep you accountable, to keep you focused, to keep you engaged, but most importantly, to really understand what are the actions that will really move you forward and what are just the distractions, you need to get into the Own Your Bold Inner Circle. OwnYourBoldCircle.com. It is one of the most powerful experiences you will ever have. If you are ready to have bigger impact, you want to make more money, and you want to do it with a lot more ease and grace, join us. Now, let's get into today's episode. Well, welcome to another exciting episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Benson, and today, my heart is so full. I am so excited to share my guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Devi Adeya, and she is a soulful speaker, coach, podcaster, and conscious business strategist. As the host of the top-ranked Spiritual Entrepreneur Podcast and creator of the popular podcast On Purpose Online Academy, Devi moves entrepreneurs and leaders to embrace their soul's purpose and to share their message with the world so they can experience elevated freedom, fulfillment, and significant results in work and life. Devi has been featured 3 times as an icon of influence at the New Media Summit and interviews today's top podcasters and influencers on her brand new show, Podcasters on Purpose, and shares her spiritual entrepreneurial insights on Devi TV, the podcast, which are both available on iTunes. Now, when she's not serving or interviewing leaders in their industry, Devi enjoys making music, doing yoga, and spending time with her husband and 3 cats in their home in San Diego. And I have to add, and hanging with her homies, like, right? Like, the podcaster community has become our family, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Thank you, my friend, for coming and joining me on today's episode. I actually am so psyched about our topic, spiritual entrepreneurship and elevated success, because you are somebody who literally, like, the moment I met you, I watched you, like, you were like a magnet that when you walked through a room, everybody was like, oh my God, look at this light walking into the room. Who is that? Who, you know, it's like everybody just kind of gloms onto you, because I think you truly embody the integration of spirituality and entrepreneurship. So I'm excited to talk about that today.
Well, I'm really honored to be here, Melanie. You're one of my favorite people on the planet, and I've been really blessed to get to spend more time with you recently, which has been fantastic, and just enjoying all the time that we get together. And I totally feel the same way about you. Whenever we're together, it's like when I met you, I looked into your eyes and I was like, wow, that's a lot of light. So I'm really excited to share this conversation because I know that you fully embody this as well. So It's wonderful to get to bring this conversation and share it with your community.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people talk about consciousness and people talk about spirituality, but there's something really, you know, like, first of all, I think you really live what you teach. And I think that is not always the case out there, but you have a very unique story of how you came to like integrate your spirituality and entrepreneurship. Would you be willing to share a little bit about your background and how you got to this place of finally integrating it?
Yeah, absolutely. So since, you know, I grew up in a very like cosmopolitan yet also very mystical family. So as a young child, I lived in Washington, D.C. and my dad was president of a bank, but he was also a yogi, what they call an acharya, which is basically a yogic kind of minister. My grandpa was head of state in the FBI, but my grandma was very much a mystical person. And so, you know, I come from what I like to call a clair family, where there's like clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience, you know, people that see, feel, hear, and know with different senses than maybe most of us use on an ongoing basis, which you may not even realize you have access to in life until someone points it out to you. So growing up, we would have like deceased relatives come and visit us at dinner. And trust me, I know this sounds very out there. But what would happen is they would come, I would go to school and I would talk to the kids at school and the kids would say things like, what, you freak? You know, what are you talking about? You know, you had, you know, your uncle come and visit you who's no longer alive. And so I went to my grandma and I was like, Grandma, why are they calling me a freak? What did I do? And I couldn't understand how this world that was so real to me was something that was making me seem like a complete outsider. And so she said, honey, you can't tell anyone what we talk about at the dinner table or they will literally lock you in a rubber room and throw away the key. And so for years, I, you know, really quickly distinguished like what was safe to share and what wasn't. And so I had this internal world that was very much deeply soulful and connected. And, you know, both my godparents were swamis and I was meditating at a very young age. But the people that I was spending time with were more kind of like the DC metro crowd. And, you know, so what we would talk about are things like nice tree chorns, you know, what did you watch on TV? What's going on at the country club? It was a very different world. And so I started to focus a lot on those external things that I thought I should be doing. And I went and I got a dual degree from Carnegie Mellon and went and worked for Oracle Corporation out of school, went into high tech, and did what I thought I should be doing so that I would, you know, fit in and be a part of the world as we're supposed to be. And I think a lot of us can have a part of ourselves that we're afraid, God, if anyone knew this about me, I would be completely shunned or set aside. And so we hide that part of ourselves and tuck it away. And for me, that part of me was definitely my reality, but not a reality I would share. And then one New Year's Eve, I sat down and I wrote out my bucket list of things that I wanted to do before I passed on. And I found a list from 2 years prior, and I realized in 2 years of my life, I've done nothing of the things that I say are most important to me because nothing was checked off. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to do one of these a month. And I got scuba certified, became a licensed skydiver, ran a marathon, traveled Europe. It was a crazy year. And at the end of the year, I was like, okay, I've checked these boxes. And I was like, well, now what? I've been doing all these things I thought I should be doing in order to do these other things that I thought were going to bring fulfillment for me. And I just had this feeling of emptiness, like there should be something more there for me. And I went to an event and I heard someone say they were starting a coaching program. And if you wanted to be of contribution in someone else's life, to come and apply. And so I thought, well, if it's not about acquisition, because I was making plenty of money, and it's not about the experiences, although they're amazing and they stretch me as a human, maybe it's about contribution. And so I left and I went to work for this company as a coach. And while the contribution was amazing, I still felt like there was so much more that was missing for me. And it took me a long journey to come to realize that what was missing for me was this part of myself I had tucked away. And years later, I was, you know, starting my podcast. I had gone and taken a flight from San Diego to DC and back again. And on the flight, I listened to this podcast on podcasting and I came back and saw a friend and I said, you know, I think I want to start a show. And she's like, well, why don't you use the domain you've had since 2000, which was the spiritual entrepreneur. And I was like, I can't do that. And she's like, come on, spiritualentrepreneur.com is a great domain. You can totally use it. And I thought, how can I come out spiritually? Like, I can't let people know that about myself. And so she says, well, whatever you're going to do, you got 72 hours. So pick it. And so I didn't come up with something better. I decided I was going to do it. And 2 months later, to the day, literally at midnight, I launched my intro episode, which is where I shared about this particular story on my show. I did it at midnight the night that I said I was going to do it because I was so terrified to share that part of myself. And what I started to realize after I pushed publish is that the world didn't end. And this nagging and gnawing voice that had been inside of me, like looking for that fulfillment, finally quieted. And I started to hang around with other people that were sharing, you know, their message of spirituality and business. And I was starting to realize that it was a lot more normal than I had given myself credit for. And what I was noticing is a lot of people were teaching tactics and practical things, but the 99.9% of what my experience was and how I create things, which is the energy behind it, they weren't talking about. So this was actually giving a gift of sharing that, you know, my world in a way that would support people and seeing how a lot of people will really create, which is that consciousness piece that's behind all of the actions that we take in life.
You know, we have some of the most extraordinary conversations behind the scenes. And that's one of the things that I love about going to events and spending time with people who are like-minded is you have these conversations that never quite make the air, right? It's like, you know, we're having dinner and we drop into conversation about it. And you, as you started to explain to me how your consciousness, you tap into that consciousness, I realized, first of all, how similar we were, but how little of this is really out there, and that sometimes the greatest way to shift a situation or shift yourself in order to be in alignment with it, with the outcomes you do want, is to shift your consciousness first. So maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the ways in which you use spirituality and your consciousness to literally shift situations and access immediately. And I gotta say, like we were talking about the visualization boards the other day, and you're like, oh, if I put it on my vision board, it's done. So I have to be really careful. I'm like, okay, 90% of the people on the planet cannot say that. So what are you doing that's manifesting so quickly?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And it is true. One of the things I love about your show and the time that we have together is you bring those conversations out. Like we're having this on air right now together. So it's really great that you're bringing this piece out. I think it's so important. So we were sitting actually in a mastermind together with a large group of people, and they were talking about, well, why don't you add this vision? I had a monetary goal of something I wanted to create. And they were saying, well, why don't you just put it on a vision board? And I'm like, well, I don't want to do vision boards because vision boards are literal for me. Like whatever I put on there is what happens. Like if I say I want, you know, red and I put blue, it's going to be blue. And I don't always think about that when I put the picture. And someone said to me, well, why don't you put that money on the board? And I was like, oh, I could do that. You know,
blind spot.
Blind spot. Yeah, complete blind spot for me. So basically, one of the things that I've discovered is when I talk to people, and I'm willing to talk about this first, like I'm willing to admit that I live life in this way, I find that almost everyone that I end up talking to, there's some version of what I'm doing that they're not sharing. Like it's something that they've kind of like cloaked or hidden inside. So one of the things that I found across the board for spiritual entrepreneurs that really is a success principle is having a presence practice. And it doesn't matter what that practice is. For me, I meditate. Like I'm an avid meditator. I've been doing it since I could sit. And it's a part of like breathing for me. It's a way of me kind of connecting in, if you will. If you think about when you have your computer and you're wanting to download something, right, and get a resource from like the net, right, or the divine cloud, if you will, you need to make sure that your connection is strong. So one of the things for me in meditating, it's like I'm managing that, you know, wireless connect up, right, to all of the wisdom and resources that I need at any moment. So in the morning and the evenings, I meditate, you know, regularly where I, you know, connect in and do some breath work and really dive into an awareness of what's going on behind the scenes. Like there's a noise that's always happening for me on an energetic level that I don't always listen to when I'm focused on the external world. But when I create that habit of connecting in, it makes a big difference. And so I've had people that have shared with me, you know, they will go running for that. There are people that'll listen to classical music and journal. Some people do silent meditation like myself. You know, I've even had a guy that taught me, we call it towel time, where he would go into the bathroom and turn on a shower and let the steam fill up the room and put a towel over his head and bring in some trade rags and a calculator and literally like look at what the trends are, put the towel on his head, listen for that kind of internal download, and then pull out the calculator and work the numbers. So there's different ways that you can get to that place, but whatever the habit is taking time to listen inside for that's they call it the small still voice, right? But that part of you that is the access to all the resources and wisdom that you're ever going to need. It's all inside. And so taking the time to go back to that over and over again on a habitual basis daily. And I know we were talking about how to shift something in a moment, and there's this practice that I learned as a child. So my grandma was, she used to say to my grandpa, "Fred, I will be the best wife." They're from the South. I'll be the best wife. You know, I'll raise our girls. And this is how it kind of was in that time. I'll take care of everything at the house. All I ask for is 2 hours a day where I can go and, you know, take my time to connect in and do my spiritual study. And so you'd walk in the house and you hear grandpa, you know, be like, "Where's grandma?" He'd be like, "Oh, she's up on the mount," which meant I knew she was up, locked up in the second bedroom reading these spiritual books. And one of the books that she had was from a guy named Emmett Fox, where he talks about, I think it's Emmett Fox that taught this, but it's the golden key. And so my mother one day, when she was a child, was having some trouble. They used to travel from state to state with the FBI. And she was having some challenges with the bully at school, which I think a lot of kids face nowadays as well, but it's more cyberbullying. And she came to grandma and she said, "I don't want to go to school anymore. This kid keeps picking on me. I don't know what to do." And my grandma said, "Okay, we're going to golden key it." And so basically what that meant was anytime that my mom experienced that person or thought of that person or had any interaction with that person, what she was told to do was to take her attention and move it from the effect of what was being created to the true cause, which is more the spiritual side of it. So, you know, shifting to any thought of anything related to her representation of the divine or God or source or love or whatever you want to focus on that's more in alignment with love. And so she would do that ongoingly anytime, regardless if the kid was picking on her, whatever was happening, she'd shift her focus over to that other divine aspect. And within 2 weeks, the boy showed up at her house with flowers and invited her to be a part of his private club and apologized. And she said she was changed forever. So when I was growing up, whenever I had an issue, she'd say, "Okay, just golden key it, honey." And so that's something that I tend to do too. When I don't know how to intellectually fix something, I'll do that. I'll use that as a practice where I literally will turn my focus and attention to what it is that's vibrationally in alignment with what I want to create, rather than focusing on the what is happening in the effect. Because I think a lot of times we start to believe that what we're experiencing is the reality of it. But the truth is that the experience is really more of the effect of the cause of what I believe is where we put our focus, attention, and emotion on an ongoing basis.
I love that story. You know, it's funny, as you're telling the story this time, I was realizing that my husband and I do this as well. And we didn't call it golden key, which is such a great term for it, but we called it heart connection. So my husband works in traditional corporate world, in the entertainment industry, which if you know anything about the entertainment industry in Hollywood, you know that it's a lot of very low vibration, very, you know, negative environments there. And so he was dealing with someone at work who was really toxic and was running around spreading a bunch of rumors about him and saying he was really difficult to work with. And so, you know, a lot of times I try to help him hold space. We call him the conscious colorist. So he's creating a new consciousness in his work. Very hard sometimes. Feels like he's pushing a rock uphill. But we went into this as an experiment and said, well, what happens if you shift you and you shift your vibration with this person? Let's see what could happen. And he went into, did this visualization and connected his heart to this person's heart. And he went in and he started focusing on all of their good qualities. And mind-blowingly, within a week, they sat down, they had a conversation. He changed the conversation they had. Instead of focusing on what she was doing wrong, he said, here's what I really love about you. And he focused on like three qualities that she had that were so valuable. And now she's like his greatest asset. So when he got sick or had a surgery, she'd be the first to call him, or how are you? Can I do anything? Like, it is mind blowing. And so we wanted to share that just to kind of add on to your example, because I think sometimes people think, okay, that's woo-woo, or I don't even know how I would apply that. But you can use these tools in your model of the world and put them into your way of being, like your way of connecting with people, and you will be mind blown what can shift. You know, my husband works in an environment that this is not a conscious community. It is not about spirituality, but yet he's using these tools to create massive change in places that feel very stuck. So I'm so glad we're talking about these great tools today.
That's so powerful. And it's so important too. I think we don't realize the effect that we can have on consciousness in the space that we're in just by managing our own focus and attention. And, you know, even if it's just like you were saying, to be more kind of less out there and a little more practical, you could literally like create a mantra that you say to yourself, like, there is one, you know, one presence and power, and it's love, right? Like, that simple. You could do that, or you could think about something that makes you feel different than you're feeling right now. Like, even if you need to put in your mind like another place where you do experience love, where you start to just shift your mind to that, it could be petting your dog or your cat, right? But like taking your mind away from the effect and putting it into a different place can actually shift the vibration of how you're showing up in that relationship too.
So true. I want to explore something. You know, there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast and are in my community who are entrepreneurs. They may be service providers. They're people who are building a business around their expertise in some way, shape, or form. So that probably means that they're going to be at events or hosting events or speaking at events, even if they're online. How do you create that experience when you walk in a room, like you're like a magnet that pulls attention towards you? Because I think it's a very powerful way of influence, is being able to shift how people experience you when you walk in a room.
Thank you for that. And I'm really moved that you see me that way too. Because sometimes we don't see ourselves, right? When we're moving through the world, we don't always see that reflected back. So thank you for that. So here's some different things that you can do. Let's first of all talk about like one-on-one, and then we'll talk a little bit about maybe the stage.
Okay.
So, one of the practices that I live by is what I call living namaste. So, for those of you who've ever done any yoga, you probably know that basically namaste is a term that's a greeting that says, you know, the light inside of me honors and acknowledges or bows to the light inside of you. And it's basically a way of saying like, my soul honors and acknowledges your soul, right? The greatness in me honors and acknowledges the greatness in you, whatever words you want to use for it. But it's a way of acknowledging that essence of each one of us, that is that beautiful light and radiance inside of us. And one of the things that I did years ago is I did an exercise of, if I have a unique ability, one that sets me apart, what would it be? Because I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And so I had all these people come back to me and say to me, when I'm around you, I believe anything is possible. When I'm with you, I want to be the best version of myself. Like, some version of that kept coming back. And I thought, well, what is that? And what do I do with something that's all about being, right? Because that's really the essence of, it's how I was showing up, not anything I was particularly doing. And so I tried to deconstruct how it is that I show up in a way that made more sense to me from a doing perspective. And what I realized is I had an unconscious habit of living namaste, which means literally like when I greet someone, I bow to the light inside of them. I look at that greatness inside of them, and I'm focused so much on the greatness inside of them. And what happens is when we focus on something, we energize it, we expand it, right? So when we're focusing on the greatness inside of another human being, they feel different than they do when we don't. If we focus on a negative aspect of someone, you can feel that, right? When we focus on the greatness inside of someone, it calls them into that in some way. So this is something you could do anywhere. When you're sitting across the table with a client, when you're greeting someone new, even when you're in line at the store, like, you can literally just silently, inwardly say, you know, the greatness in me acknowledges the greatness inside of you, or the light inside of me sees the light inside of you and honors it. And you'll find that the people in your life start to show up so differently, and that you call forth in them the best version of who they are. And it's something super simple. It's you just like set it, see it, and let that be kind of the context and intention for how you show up for the people in your life. So that's one thing you can do in person. And then for me, when I'm going to go say speak on a stage, one of the things that I love to do before I go is to imagine the room filled with a particular color of light. I know it sounds kind of out there, but there's going to be some energy in the room anyway, so you might as well set it how you want it to be. So for me, I like to see things with golden light before I go in, preset, pre-pave the way. I like to state an intention before I get there of whatever it is that I'm wanting the people to be left with, like how I want whatever our interaction is or however I show up for them to land for them in a way that will serve them. And then one of the things I've done a lot if I'm at an event where I have access to the room in advance is I will literally go and on each chair, put my hands on the chair and say, please show me how to serve this person in the best way possible. Let me bless this person. Like whatever it is, I go chair to chair to chair. And then before you go on, when you're getting ready to go out, if you have any kind of fear or anxiety about being on stage, I know for me at one point I was, I sing, right? So I stopped singing semi-professionally because I get emotional. I can feel a lot of other people's feelings and I can get emotional. And my way of communicating is straight through my throat. And what happens is when I get too emotional, my throat will lock on me. And I actually had that experience one time when I was singing a song and I was just, it was a very emotional experience. And I thought, I can't do this because I can't sing when I get this overloaded. I had all this energy coming through me from people that were weeping because I was crying because I was singing. And so a friend of mine had asked me to come and sing at his father's funeral, a song that I had written, that I wrote actually because my first boyfriend had passed away, and it was a song that had to do with him not being alive anymore. And I thought, I don't think I can do that, you know? And so I did this exercise that was really beneficial to me. And I said, I couldn't turn down my friend. It was his, actually two of my friend's father that I was like, I gotta show up for that. So I basically said, how am I going to do this? And I thought, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit with what that would be like for me now and move the emotions and the energy. So I imagined before I actually got there to sing that I was going to be there feeling all those feelings. And I let my body feel and experience all of those things in the moment beforehand. So what happened for me is I had a lot of overwhelming emotion take over my body and my throat started to lock up. And instead of pushing it away, which is what I would do if I was on stage, right, is I allowed it to come through me. And I said, okay, what is it you're here to teach me? And I literally touched the parts of my body that were feeling overwhelmed with all this emotion. And what happens is when we resist something, we increase and magnetize it. But when we're allowing to, when we allow it to actually have its moment, it moves through us. It's not like it's energized anymore. It dissipates. And so I gave it the time that it needed in advance until I got to a place of gratitude for that part of myself as a teacher. And then when I was in the space of feeling grateful, that's how I showed up when I went to sing on stage, was grateful. And I didn't cry. My voice didn't lock up. It was great. So if you're going on stage and you have kind of like jitters or you're in your head about it, you're not going to be able to connect as well as you would if you're in a place of gratitude. So if you can do that to kind of pre-pave the way before you get there, and then when you're there, really just have the intention of how you want to leave people in the room, regardless of the outcome, like of if you're selling something or whatever it is, like how do you want to leave them, and have that intention lead the way for whatever the words are that come through. And then you'll be coming in with a tone of gratitude instead.
That is really an exquisite practice. And I'm just thinking of all the times when I've had clients, or maybe even for myself, where there's been like an overracking nervousness, right? And you're nervous, you're anxious, or maybe a new experience, or you feel uncomfortable with going into this space. Like, you know, using a practice like this could literally move you out of feeling not powerful and not feeling confident to like really focusing on a completely different like thought process that would allow you to get unattached to what's happening in the room in a way, because you know you're there just to serve, or you know you're there to really just further that intention. So thank you for sharing that. I'm really excited to hear what people think about today's episode. If you're part of our Amplify Your Success community, which is totally free on Facebook, I really want to hear from you after today. Like, even if you don't consider yourself a spiritual entrepreneur or a conscious entrepreneur, and maybe you're more a religious person, like, I want to hear, like, how might you take one of these ideas that Debbie's bringing to us and change how you show up in your confidence, change how you show up and how you serve, maybe even like elevate how you like tap into opportunities in your business. And that's what I want to talk about next, Debbie. I think a lot of people try to use logic to grow their business. Right? You know, there's all the head stuff. And I'm certainly guilty of spending most of my life in my head, right? And we also know that when you tap into this divine connection that you were sharing earlier, that there are miracles, there is magic, there are things that can drop into place, because we've stopped trying to push our own agenda and we kind of align ourselves with something greater than us. How do you tap into that besides the meditation? Like, are there any other practices around that?
Absolutely. And that's such a great point. I think, so guys, just so you know, I used to develop computer applications. So I'm very left and right brain balanced. Like, I have both sides of me, and I completely understand the getting into the day-to-day, and my mind is massive, and it wants to figure things out. And I love a lot of the tactical pieces too, for sure. And I've also experienced that when I try and put together my plan and I leave out the other side of it, that magic doesn't happen like it does when I'm willing to kind of create what I like to call it, creating space for grace, is my thing. So the way that I do that is I actually make time in my calendar for that. As strange as that sounds, but making time in my day, like my grandma used to go up on the mount, right? So making time in my day when I literally will just set down my mind and listen. And one of the places for me where I get my most inspirations and insights, and I don't, you probably have your own space. Maybe it's running on a trail or in a yoga class or listening to your favorite podcast. No.
But for me, like spiritual entrepreneur and amplify your success.
Yeah, exactly. for me, it's whenever I'm in the shower or in a body of water, like taking a bath or something, there's something about me that relaxes to the point where I get my answers. So like if I have something that's challenging me and I'm wanting to figure it out, rather than sitting there and gnawing on it, which I may still do because my mind likes to work things out, for a while, I'll literally say, okay, I need an answer. So I'm going to just ask the question and go get in the shower. And what happens when the water runs over me is then all of a sudden I walk out with the beautiful answer that I didn't have before I got in the shower. So there's places of insight. Some people say this, that when they're on the toilet, like that's when they're in the loo, they get some answers. There's something, some part of them that relaxes, right? Some people will say, you know, right before they go to sleep or when they wake up in the morning, that's the point of inspiration. I get a lot of insights and inspiration in those places as well. But finding out those places where you can receive those downloads, because the meditation in the morning and the evening, the presence practice is literally just keeping myself connected, right? That's how I stay connected. But there's the point of where you're actually intentionally asking for guidance. And for me, sometimes that looks like I'll literally hear something or see something. I'll get this divine insight, you know, or sometimes I'll be like, is this the right thing for me? And maybe for you, that's like feeling your gut. Like, what does your gut say? Right. But for me, it's taking the time in my schedule to make the space for that. So I'll make time in my schedule throughout the week where I go in and I ask the bigger questions. And also one of the practices that I love to do is to wake up when I'm waking up in the morning and setting my day is to say, okay, this is my intention, you know, what it is that I want to create. Wow me, like show me something that I don't see. And by making that space, the things that show up for me are things that I couldn't have logically, you know, defined. So it's about staying present enough to see the answer to the questions and intentions that I set. So if I say I would like to create this and I don't quite know how, I need a little help, right? I then go through my day. And what happens to a lot of times, we'll ask for it, but we stop listening so we don't make time to hear it. So you can set an alarm to like pay attention, right? To remind you when you're getting to the practice of it, an alarm on your phone, or you can put it in your calendar. But it's then watching how things get constructed and brought to you in a way that solves your issue. So it may be someone calls you on the phone. It may be someone gives you a little tip that happens. And I think a lot of time we just discount that as something that's kind of like a, you know, it's a just a coincidence of some kind. But the truth is, the coincidence is that you're having your question answered. So for me, it's really about making the space for grace in my calendar, in my day-to-day life, and then intentionally asking for what it is that I need and being present enough to see when it's answered in my life experience, right? Mm-hmm. Those things that show up.
Yeah, I like that you brought about the paying attention to the answer, because sometimes if it's not the answer that you want, you might dismiss it. I think we're getting these intuitive hits all the time, right? Like we're getting answers all the time, but we kind of forgot to connect the dots back. And so I'm glad you brought that up. I love this conversation so much. It's so rich. It's so, there's so many great tools when we start to shift out of the logic is the only way. And we start to realize that there is a level of consciousness that can open up doors you can't even imagine. I mean, I know I've had doors open up that, you know, by kind of getting into this other dimension, even last week we were at this event and I like to kind of play these little silly games that I'm super unattached to, but you know, there was only one stage time for me at this event that we were at for 3.5 days. And I thought, nah, it's not enough. I'm going to manifest a couple more spots. And sure enough, before the event was over, I was asked on a panel and then asked on another session on stage. And I thought, yeah, I love how this works. Could you give us just one example of something that you've manifested out of this process that really made a difference in your business?
Yeah. So I'll give you like one of the things that I started like early on really consciously practicing a little bit more. So back when I was coaching, right, when I first started coaching, I was, you know, not making as much money as I'd like to. I was working for a company and they didn't actually pay. I come from a six-figure income earning background. I was like, oh, this is a shift. You're right. When I first started out coaching, you change business. Sometimes that happens. And so I was like, well, I want to create $20,000, right? So I got in a little mastermind with a group of people and the goal and intention was to create some money, right? $20,000. So it was within, I think it was in 4 or 6 weeks. I can't remember. It might have been 4 or 6 weeks. Anyway, so basically what happened was I didn't know how. And I love, there's this guy Thatch who says, he's, I don't want to make this an explicit episode, but he says P-H-U-K-H-A-U. And you can do the phonetics on that when you don't know, right? He'll say, you know, he'll say that. So, so for me, like if I don't know how, sometimes I will just ask and ask to be shown, right? And so this is what happened for me. I was like, all right, well, I have no idea how I'm going to create that with the current income that was there at the company that I started working for. But I was like, just show me. And I'm moving into the dimension where I know that this is the case. It's so. And so I borrowed some belief from someone else that it was possible because I didn't really have that belief myself. But I, you know, they had created other things similar. So I was like, well, they did it. I'm going to borrow their belief that that's possible. And then I just said, I'm going to start to listen for the answer. And so I just listened. And all of a sudden I got an email from someone who said, I see here that you have idive.com, because I was skydiving and scuba diving and that kind of thing. I would like to buy it from you. And I was like, oh, this is my $20,000, right? And so I wrote them back. I said, great, that'll be $20,000. And they're like, right? Not ready for 20,000. So we went back and forth. It got to 15,000, right? So they paid me 15,000 for that. And then I said, okay, well, that must be how this is supposed to come. So then I went and I said, what other domains do I have? And I listed another one called myshortlist.com. Cause I was doing, obviously it was before the bucket list. So I called that my short list that I had done. And I found a guy who wanted to buy it for his wife. And so he bought that. So we had the 5,000 and the 15,000. I got to my 20,000 in that period of time. Now here's the thing about that. had I not been listening and knowing and trusting and already in the expectancy that that was what was going to happen, I probably would not have asked for $20,000 for the domain, right? And I would have let that whole thing probably go by as a random email. But because I was in the space of paying attention and knowing that that was going to be fulfilled, I took action on it and it ended up happening, right? So I feel like in our lives and our businesses, the most important thing is to be intentional in the expectancy and then just pay attention for where it shows up.
Yeah, I'm glad you said the expectancy part because I think that's the missing formula. It's like, I think a lot of times people try to do manifesting and visualizing, but there's this disbelief. Mm-hmm. You know, they're still in the state of, could that really happen? If you want to start manifesting, if you want to start attracting, let's even just take it into a very common thing of like opening up more doors, you have to go in with a state of belief. Mm-hmm. And I love you talking about the borrowing beliefs. If you don't have that belief, borrow that belief from someone who this is easy for. Borrow it from me, borrow it from Devi. Make sure you're listening to her Spiritual Entrepreneur podcast because this stuff comes up all the time on her podcast. And you have a resource that I'm hoping will help people with this as well. You must activate that it's possible instead of feeling like this will never happen for me. And that might be where you're stuck. That might be where you need support right now, is to do some of the inner work to help clear out those limitations and those fears that are blocking this. So Devi, I know you were very gracious. You're putting a unique gift together for our listeners, something really special for the people here in the Amplify Your Success community. You said you're going to put together a meditation visualization around some of these things we've talked about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So given that this is what's showing up, I'm just going to trust that that's what the visualization is going to be around. So I'm going to focus this meditation visualization on helping you to attract and create something that you want to create by walking you and guiding you through the process of putting you in vibrational alignment with that. And then what I would ask you to do is, after you listen to that visualization, that you go into your phone and put some alarms to remind yourself to stay present and look for the answer. And part of that can look like just going back throughout your day and being like, well, what happened today that could potentially be an answer to this? Right? Just that simple question. Our subconscious and superconscious have amazing answers for us, like a database filled with amazing resources, but we sometimes forget to query it. We forget to go in and ask the questions. So once you do the visualization, take some time and start to implement this in your day-to-day. And start to look for the answers, because they will happen. You don't ask for something without it showing up. Just sometimes we don't pay enough attention to see where it has.
Well said. So you can get that at spiritualentrepreneur.com/amplify. And I will put that link in the show notes over at the Amplify Your Success podcast.com. You can just look for Devi Adeya and the URL will be there, just in case you can't write it down that fast. So Devi, let's do a parting thought.
Parting thought. Okay.
You had one of your, what was the boldest move you've made that made the greatest difference in your business today?
Boldest. God, I love bold. Let's see. You know, I'd have to say there's been a lot of bold moves for me, because I'm all about the bold like you, Melanie. I know you so embrace your bold. For me, I think the boldest move that I made that's made the biggest difference, though, is literally like what I call coming out spiritually on iTunes. Like for me, being willing, and if this is you and you have some part of yourself that I like to call it the voice of your soul, but that part of you that you feel you're here to share in the world, that part of you that is pushing on you to express in some way, either through a podcast or through your business or through speaking or whatever that message is that's pushing on you, and you find that there's some part of you that's afraid to share it, I want you to really hear this. Because for me, my willingness to speak the truth about what I was about and to be willing to share that part of myself that I was so afraid if anyone knew they would shun me or lock me in a rubber room and throw away the key or whatever it was that I had learned as a child. Or if you feel like, you know, someday I'll get to that, someday, you know, down the road when I'm feeling like it's the right timing, I'll do it. I just invite you to push pause on the someday and do it now. to take the bold move and have the courage to be willing to share it now. And for me, that was really, you know, bringing the spirituality piece into my entrepreneurial self, because I was real comfortable talking about business. That's something I'd done for years. But bringing this other aspect of myself terrified me, and being bold enough to go and share something that literally my voice shook when I said it has transformed my life in ways that I could not have imagined. It's brought relationships to me with people like Melanie that are radiant lights in the world, right? People that are, you know, I've been attracted to in an amazing community. I've had speaking opportunities show up. I've been on other media, things that wouldn't have come if I hadn't done it. And honestly, I didn't have fulfillment before that. So that's the bold move, that one thing, being willing to really come out and share the truth of my soul, that made the biggest difference for me. So if you're sitting on that, now's the time. Get with Melanie. Amplify your success by amplifying the message, that voice within you.
I love it. What a great way to end. Thank you so much for being with us today. And
thanks for having me.
Please be sure to get this really special resource that Debbie is gifting to you. You know, she's not charging you for it. She's gifting it to you to help you really integrate a lot of the tools that we talked about today. So thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Melanie.
This is Melanie Benson, your host. Thanks so much for listening in today. If you want to catch up on any of the show notes and circle back on any of the resources we shared in today's show, head on over to the show page at amplifyyoursuccesspodcast.com. And remember, you amplify your results faster when you're in a community of other people who are moving and shaking. Join us at amplifyyoursuccesscommunity.com. One last thing. When you've gained insight from today's episode, help us share that and inspire other people by heading over to iTunes, subscribing, and give it a review. iTunes absolutely loves seeing these reviews pop up, and it actually helps boost my show's visibility. So I would be super grateful for your reviews. And as always, I love seeing your shares of these episodes on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Come find me over there. Tag me in your shares. I'll give you some social media love right back. So see you next week for another inspiring episode of Amplify Your Success Podcast.